Well, obviously, we've got a few issues. The first one is the continuing war in the Ukraine and the economic consequences of that, apart from devastating consequences to Ukraine and Russia. But the other consequences are we've got something of a headwind developing for global economic growth, but it's also a tailwind for existing high inflation. So as far as the headwind's concerned, it comes through mostly in those commodity price rises, those additional ones, and particularly those relating to energy. We're seeing that quite directly in petrol prices and energy prices around the world. And unless that's compensated somehow, then that becomes a bit of a headwind for consumers, consumer spending, and economic growth. Now, there's a fair chance that some of it might be compensated. So there's been a lot of talk about stagflation. That's not necessarily the case. It very much depends on how governments react to this. And already I can see the calls for excise duty, for example, locally, to be dropped in the budget that's coming up on the 29th of March. I'd expect to see quite a few of those sorts of initiatives, not just here, but internationally. It may not compensate for everything that's happening, and it's going to make life hellishly difficult for central banks because it means that a potential headwind to growth is being moderated to some degree by government policy. So they still have to put themselves on a footing of tightening monetary policy, and I'll get onto that with the Federal Reserve this week. But looking back over the course of the past week, in the case of the United States, there wasn't a lot of data that came out, but there was one key piece of information in terms of the inflation rate for the month of February. CPI came out, and it was very high. It wasn't higher than market expectations, but it was still very, very high and worrying as far as the Federal Reserve's concerned. So the CPI was up 0.8% month on month for the month of February. That was after being up 0.6% month on month the month before. The annual rate of change has lifted to 7.9% year on year from 7.5%. That's the highest annual inflation rate. These keep on making a new benchmark since 1982. And there's a very substantial chance now with the additional rises that we've had running through key commodity prices that US inflation will not just go through the 8% over the course of the next month or two, but could get into double digits. So that's a real prospect now over the course of the March and April readings of the CPI, much of it driven by energy prices. And of course, it all depends on how much of that stays in the system, how long it takes before it starts to come back. The core CPI was high too. The core CPI reading was 0.5% for the most recent month. That's elevated the annual change to 6.4% from 6.0. So even taking out some of those food and energy prices, the key things are going to be impacted by the war in Ukraine. We've still got very, very elevated core inflation. Having said that, we've got some signs of a bit of softness starting to come through in things like consumer sentiment. We had the University of Michigan's March Consumer Sentiment Survey came out on Friday, and it fell a little bit more than expected. It came down to 59.7, which is actually quite a low reading from 62.8. So the shock from these higher prices is both lifting inflation, but also presenting a potential headwind to growth. And so that's obviously going to feed into what the Federal Reserve does this week. Now, this week, ahead of the FOMC meeting, the FOMC meeting runs over the course of Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. We get to hear about the result first thing on Thursday morning, our time. And but before that, we've got quite a bit of data coming out. We've got February producer prices coming out on Tuesday. These are very, very high still. Going back to January, the month-on-month producer price index was 1.0% month-on-month. Market thinks we'll get about 0.9% for February, go out a couple of months, we're going to be seeing some 2 and 3% month-on-month in some of these. So already, factory gate prices were at 9.7% year-on-year going back to January. They lifted 10% year-on-year for the month of February. And the core is high. Core producer prices lifted 0.6% month-on-month after 0.8% the month before. So the annual rate of change on that went up to 8.7% year-on-year from 8.3%. So the inflation pipeline is already high, and it's going to get obviously a fair bit higher over the course of the next few months. We had a couple of the local manufacturing purchasing managers indices came out for New York State and also Philadelphia area. And the March Empire State, New York State one, this actually lifted. It went up to 7.25 from 3.10. So you know, still some strength, you know, running through the manufacturing side, because there's a lot of onshoring going on in the United States. You know, they were still trying to deal with all these supply chain problems and you know, heavy demand still coming for what supply was available. So the manufacturing sector in the U.S. is still very, very well supported. And it was similarly so with the Philadelphia Fed survey that came out later last week. That was at 15, or this week we think it'll be around about 15 from 16. We've also got retail sales coming out on Wednesday. Going back to February, we had a huge surge in retail sales in the United States. That was, you know, as Omicron was starting to go over the top, you know, people were starting to come out and starting to spend again. And going back to January, we had retail sales up 3.8% year-on-year, sorry, 3.8% month-on-month, and core retail sales are 3.3% in a month, so very, very strong. And the February reading, which comes out on Wednesday, still expect to be pretty firm, around 0.4% for the headline. You know, that's a real consolidation on top of that 3.8 the month before. And core retail sales up probably around about 1%. So this is the sort of you know, pattern we're looking for as we get towards the Fed meeting. And you know, at this stage, you know, people are saying, well, if it hadn't have been for the Ukraine war, the US economy was growing so strongly with such strong momentum running through prices, they'd have to deliver a 50 basis point rate hike up front and then go just about every meeting through the course of this year. That's been moderated back, and it will be very interesting to see what the Fed does, because you know, on one level, they are hugely behind in terms of tackling the inflation problem in the United States. The effort, the federal funds rate is set at between 0 and 0.25%. That's against an economy which is growing 7% in annual terms, annualized terms, last time we read it back in Q4 last year, and an inflation rate which is now knocking on the door of 8% year on year. So it's just totally absurd, you know, how low these rates are and how far behind the Fed is. So now the market's thinking, oh, they're only going to do a quarter because of the problems that are there with the war. Well, they may only do a quarter, but you know, this in some senses means that you know, we're building in that inflation pressure for the foreseeable future. And then we come down to the point of you know, when we get past all these uncertainties over the next year or two, where does inflation settle back to? And at the moment, you know, the bond market's thinking in terms of getting back to around about 2-ish percent inflation. Well, really, there's not a hope in hell of that happening. The way things are going at the moment, particularly if the Fed's going to go easy with the first stages of these policy changes, inflation's going to settle back to 4 or 5 at some point in the next 2 to 3 years. So there's an awful lot of adjustment that has to occur through bond yields over the course of the next not few months running into next year. Because at the moment, the bond market's very comfortable that you know, we're going to get back to you know, 2-ish, 2.5% inflation at some point in 2023-24. So there's a lot that's probably got to change over the next few months. Now, some of the other data we've got coming, we've got some building permits data beyond the Fed, housing starts data. All of that's still relatively firm in the US. And we've got industrial production data, which is very strong in the US, coming out for the month of February later in the week. Out of China, last week we had exports and import data. These are still running pretty strongly, and it's very important for the Chinese that they do, because you know they've still been battening down on parts of their economy related to residential construction spending, those sorts of areas, plus also various other policy initiatives aimed at certain industries that Chinese think should be less important in their economy. So they've had to rely more on exports to help to run things or to keep the economic growth rate going. It's an important point because there's been a lot of talk about sort of China or President Xi's cutting the same cloth as President Putin. At some point, he's watching what's happening in Ukraine as an opportunity to go whopping into Taiwan. Well, it's possible, but the key point for President Xi is he's coming up later this year to cement his third term as Chinese president. There's already in principle the idea that he can be president for life. But he wants to make sure that that happens later in the year. He has a compact, basically, with the Chinese people that you put up with all sorts of restrictions, but what I will guarantee is we've lifted 500,000, 600,000 of you out of poverty. We will ensure a reasonable lifestyle for you, providing you put up with the restrictions we impose on you. Now, he needs his economy to run as well as it can. And what's lifted the Chinese economy has been its engagement with the rest of the world. That's what's driven Chinese economic growth. It's a very different position from Russia. So in that sense, he needs the rest of the world. He has to play a more diplomatic game than Putin is certainly playing at the moment. So in some senses, I think the fears about China are somewhat overblown, and they want to keep these exports running. And exports, February exports, are up 16.3% year-on-year, better than expected, compared with 20.9% admittedly going back the month before. They have a bit of flexibility in China too, because inflation, at least CPI inflation, is not as high as it is elsewhere. The annual inflation rate in February stayed at 0.9% year-on-year. That gives a bit of flexibility there for People's Bank of China to ease monetary policy a little bit further as we go down the track. Producer price inflation is elevated but coming back somewhat. It's going to get another push upwards before long because of the lift in many key commodity prices. But PPI inflation out of China was at 9.1% year-on-year going back to January, came back to 8.8% in the month of February. This week, on Tuesday, we get many of the domestic indicators. And this indicates the problem that China faces. These are running quite low. So fixed asset investment spending, which is very much dominated by residential construction, it may lift a touch, but it was very low at 4.9% year-on-year going back to January, may lift to perhaps 5%. Industrial production at 4.3% previous month, looks as if it's still falling and will probably come back to 3.9%. And retail sales down at 1.7%, may lift a little, but only to 3%. Now, some of the problems with retail sales, China's taking a slightly different attitude towards the Omicron outbreak than the rest of the world too. They're battening down pretty heavily on the areas where it's occurring. This is a little bit of a headwind too. So all sorts of issues running through China at the moment, but they'll be using policy where they can to lift economic growth a bit. And some of the fears around China that it's a Russia in waiting are a bit overblown when you look at what drives Chinese economy and what President Xi needs to cement his position as leader for a third term when he comes up for that later this year. In terms of Australia, last week we had ANZ job ads came out for the most recent month. Huge bounce in them, 8.4%, after it had fallen 0.7% the month before. It shows, on any excuse, once you start to wind restrictions back in Australia, you tend to get big rebounds. And we saw it in the business indicators. February, we had the NAB Business Conditions and Business Confidence Survey. We'd barely started to ease things up when this survey was taken, but business conditions went from +2 going back to January to +9, quite a substantial lift in that diffusion index where you're looking at ups minus downs to get a net of +9. Business confidence went from +4 to +13, so quite a strong lift in that. Now, it was a little bit different for consumer sentiment. So we had the March Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey. This was taken, the outbreak of war in amongst the survey too, was when there was that very ugly incident where we were worried about one of the nuclear power plants there in Ukraine. And consumer sentiment came down quite sharply by 4.2% after falling 1.3%. We had a bit of speaking by the Reserve Bank Governor over the course of the past week, and both relating to the war in Ukraine and giving the economic consequences of that are a significant lift to certain key commodity prices. That is certainly harmful for the terms of trade for some countries, but it's actually a backhanded benefit for Australia, where we get a lift to our national income from the lift that's occurring through many of these commodity prices. You get a bit of a headwind in terms of the tax effect that comes through when you see certain prices rising, but we're less susceptible to that tax effect than we've been in the past. So broadly speaking, I'm still reasonably optimistic about the economic outlook here, but still prepared to be patient a while longer, watching what happens with both the labour market, wages and the inflation readings before they consider the need for an interest rate increase, but making it pretty clear that it's now on for late this year, so that there's now greater certainty around an interest rate increase coming through in Australia when we get to the later part of this year. This week we get some more information on house prices. We get Q4 house prices, the RBA's version of that. Not the RBA, sorry, the Australian Bureau of Statistics version of that. And still was another positive quarter, but not quite as strong as the quarter before. Quarter before, we had house prices up 5% quarter on quarter, 21% year on year. It's probably up around 3.9% through Q4, but we're still going to be up in the high teens for the annual escalation in house prices. That appears to have flattened out quite a bit running through the early months of 2022, but that's a story for 3 months' time when we get the next house price index coming through. We'll get the minutes of the last RBA meeting, which won't give us much new. It'll talk about what the largely what the Reserve Bank Governor has been talking about over the past week, and that is prepared to be patient, waiting for more data, but prepare for an interest rate increase now, probably later this year. We'll get fairly key information on Thursday, which is the latest labour market information and employment. We think, well, the market thinks, and I think actually probably I'm in line with the market on this one, in the month of February, we probably had a lift of about 40,000 after a 12,900 lift going back the month before. We'll also get a lift in the participation rate probably. It was already at almost a record high, 66.2%. Might edge up a bit further to 66.3%. The unemployment rate, depending on what that participation rate does, we think it will come down. It's how much it will come down. It was at 4.2%, the unemployment rate, in January. Market consensus is it will come down to 4 or 4.1%. it could potentially go down into the threes. If it does go down into the threes, that's the first time it's been down there since the labour force survey started, and the labour force survey started way back in 1978. Prior to the labour force survey, we used to look at social security and welfare benefits and count that on a monthly basis, and it's a very different set of figures. Where we've got comparability, we're now getting down to record low unemployment rates in Australia looking ahead. So yeah, that's coming through too in terms of a pressure point for the RBA looking ahead. Europe last week, Europe obviously is going to be worst affected by what's happening in Ukraine. We saw it in the March reading of Centix investor confidence. It collapsed. It went from 16.6 positive to 16.6 going back to February. Was expected to still be positive for the month of March. It wasn't positive. It fell to minus 7.0. And, of course, that's all about the war in Ukraine. The ECB met and the European Central Bank. They've got a pretty horrific inflation problem too. Not quite of the order of the US. There's a difference in that wages are rising in Europe, but not at the pace they are in the US. The US has not only got high past inflation, high producer price inflation, it's also got wages now growing at a level which suggests that you could get into some sort of price-wage spiral. That's not the case most other places. In Europe, wages are not quite up there yet, but they've got certainly more producer price inflation than the US has. And the ECB is recognising that even with the problems that they face with the war in Ukraine, they decided that they're going to reduce or wind out QE now in May this year. And that's the first step before they start to lift rates. They haven't lifted rates yet, but at some point they will lift rates. And again, absurdly low. You got the deposit rates from the ECB at minus 0.5%. against an annual inflation rate, which is now 5.8%. There is a need for those rates to start to mark up, even in Europe, where they face these problems on their eastern boundary. It's sort of working its way through over time. And this week in Europe, not a lot of data. We've got industrial production data. Like everywhere else around the world, factories are going gangbusters. Industrial production was up 1.2% month-on-month going back to the month of December. It's likely to lift again around 0.2%. We've got the ZEW economic confidence. We've got a bit of trade data, but not a lot. Obviously, watching everything that's happening in Europe, the latest developments are disturbing when you get missile strikes, which are now less than 20 kilometres from the border of Poland. With the Ukraine, we have to allow for almost anything that can happen now. What I would say for the time being is the economic consequences are largely to do with commodities, and those commodity prices are quite elevated